always try to keep on top of the latest technology trends, and threats are a really big part of tech because I need to protect myself. I need to protect my customers, and I need to be responsible to you, my viewers, and help you to be ready and prepared for the threats that are coming over the horizon here as, you know, here the first month of January starts to wrap up. The first month of 2020, I should say, January being that month.
The first month.
Yes.
Yep. You I know what you're what saying.
You knew what I meant.
January does feel very long, though.
But we're really, it does. I mean, we're seeing an evolution in malware. We're seeing things transition from viruses to malware to ransomware, and now even fileless attacks. We're seeing hardware attacks and firmware infiltrations. And things that we've never, ever even encountered before, but those are very real threats here as we enter 2020. So the opportunity arose, and I spent some time there. I want to jump into an interview with Raf Bavar at ESET headquarters in Toronto, Ontario.
Raf.
Yeah. Hey, how are you, man?
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm very well, thanks. Can you tell the folks who are watching a little bit about what you do here at ESET headquarters?
So, Robbie, I am actually the sales engineer. I am the lead sales engineer for the ESET team in Canada. And I am mostly the tech guy that will support sales in general within the Canadian territory.
So a very technical mind and very familiar with the inner workings of the products.
Yep, I'm the one that has all the geeky talk with the other techs and with the customers.
Yeah.
And the main driver for that is to be able to technically position the products and see if we can address all the customer requirements.
Sure. So part of that comes from educating end users to understand what the cybersecurity threat landscape looks like.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we've really, really seen that change over the past couple of years. I think especially, was it 2017 when WannaCry dropped?
Yes.
So this is like the first ransomware that really made its way around the world and was really, really huge. How did that impact the direction of a company
and
like ESET?
We should not see any numbers going down whenever it comes to the ransomware. It's still the really prevalent.
Sure.
And everybody, in a way, is kind of experiencing it. We do have a pretty good protection against it, so I don't expect my existing customers that are running updated products and everything from being impacted to those threats. Mm-hmm. But it's something that's already very, very live, very, very present in our day-to-day operations. Something else that I usually highlight on the threat landscape that we have recently is the upcoming releases of the fileless malwares. So if you have, for example, an endpoint security product that's running on your computer, either an AV, anti-malware, or whichever name you prefer to call it, I still have the need to scan files. So, however, the idea of a fileless malware is there's no files.
Okay.
So how do you scan something if it's not available on your computer? So those malwares are in general being running by scripts on rogue web pages, malicious web pages.
Right.
And the most common one today is probably the coin miners. So it's a script that will run on a given computer, and that computer will start mining bitcoins for the malwares.
So you call these fileless malware. So does that mean that it just loads right into RAM from a website?
Yes, it will actually be it will be a script that will be running in memory whenever you go to those websites. Mm-hmm. And if your existing endpoint security product cannot scan or cannot protect your memory in real time, you will be susceptible to that kind of threat in general.
So it sounds to me like another, like WannaCry as the first kind of example of ransomware.
Yeah.
Another threat where basic, like, antivirus. I'm going to use the term antivirus because you hear anti-malware is a term that we in the industry use these days, because really it's not just viruses that we're dealing with.
That's correct.
Anymore. So is antivirus, is it sufficient anymore?
I don't believe antivirus has been sufficient for a long time. So not only we have the viruses out there, we have those fileless malwares, we have the crypto actors in general, the ransomwares. Mm-hmm. We have Trojans, we have backdoors, we have exploits. So in general, is antivirus enough? No. Is it better than not having anything? Yes.
Sure.
But if you have the option, and yes, you do have the options, sometimes you're talking about $1 more expensive or something like that,
right,
you can go to a full suite of an endpoint security product, mm-hmm, which will provide you a much better protection, overall protection on your computer.
Right. Okay, so I don't want to give the impression that this is a sales pitch, that we're trying to say, you know, choose ESET Endpoint Protection Advanced. Mm-hmm. Because it's a sales pitch. I want to instead kind of, what features of a product like Endpoint Protection Advanced is it that are taking protection to the next level for those users? So fileless attacks,
yep,
ransomware attacks, like these are threats that can take businesses and put them out of business,
yep, yep,
and bankrupt their owners.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the risk threats, is insane. Yeah.
So what features are those more advanced? Why do I need to pay more, essentially?
Yeah, absolutely. Specifically to ESET, the modules that we add those more advanced features is called HIPS, which stands for Host Intrusion Prevention System.
Okay.
And that's where we have the Advanced Memory Scanner, which is basically protecting your memory in real time.
The fileless
And that's
attacks?
Mostly associated to the fileless malware. We have the exploit blockers. So let's say whenever a new company releases a publicly available exploit for a vulnerability, let's say this week we actually had a pretty severe vulnerability with Microsoft,
yes,
and they actually released a patch the next day or something like that, we will prevent that vulnerability from being exploited.
This is exactly what ESET accomplished with WannaCry.
Absolutely,
it was,
yes.
It was,
yes,
Eternal Blue.
It was the Samba vulnerability.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yes, we were able to actually prevent that vulnerability from being exploited in the first place.
So even though WannaCry had never been discovered before, ESET was already proactively protecting
absolutely
its users.
And
so
we were actually providing that kind of fix 2 weeks before WannaCry actually existed.
Fantastic.
So we had that kind of preventive maintenance, let's say, on our product.
And you want an anti-malware product that is going to be proactive instead of reactive.
Absolutely, yes.
Because in the case of something like ransomware, you can lose everything.
Yep, yep.
And so there is no reactive response to that other than, I hope your backups are good.
Yes, and actually going back to that initial question about the current threat landscape, you're still seeing a really prevalent presence of the ransomware. However, now the crypto actors in this general, they're not only encrypting your data and holding you for a ransom, but if you're not paying, they're actually releasing the data and selling that data.
Oh,
so it
so
can
it
be
comes
even
data
worse.
Theft yes, as well.
That can be even worse.
Yeah. So. Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary stuff. So what else does your product, so again, to just look at why, I get the question all the time, Raf.
Yep.
Why should I buy the greater product when the antivirus has been working so well for me for so long? So as you said, it might be a couple bucks more, or a dollar or so more per seat, which can be a lot if you've got 10,000 computers, but in a small, medium business, it's not that much. Why would I pay more?
The additional features that we have in the full endpoint security solution, from a technical perspective, and again, I'm talking about one or $2 more, is well worth it. The value is actually there. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of not only adding additional layers of protection to your computer, mm-hmm, either at home or at your business, but I'm also getting additional visibility on what's happening on your environment as well. So let's say, one of the features on that new, on that bigger product, let's say the endpoint security, is a personal firewall, which will potentially replace your Windows firewall in your computer. And not only it will allow you to actually have visibility on the network layer, so instead of only looking for viruses or Trojans or ransomware, I'm also looking for duplicate IP address. I'm looking for DNS poisoning. I'm
That's interesting that you
poisoning.
State that, So possibly network traffic problems are even
absolutely
shown.
Yes, which are not necessarily security incidents, but it can be an actual threat. So for example, one of the detections that we have is a port scanning. So maybe your user is or a given actor inside your network is scanning your servers for whatever reason, whereas they are not supposed to be doing that. So it gives you that visibility so you can actually go to the user and have a conversation, see what's going on.
Yeah, I've never really thought about that as a threat.
Yeah.
Because like a duplicate IP address, you just think, oh, well, I accidentally assigned the same IP to a printer or something. But what if it's a threat actor?
Exactly, yeah. Maybe someone is spoofing that IP address, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. You mentioned about the firewall. How, and I don't want to put you too much on the spot, but
absolutely.
I mean, Microsoft Windows 10 comes with a firewall.
Yep.
So do I really need to supplement my anti-malware with a firewall for MISA?
We do see two main approaches for that replacement, let's say. So the first one is ease of use. So we do provide a management console that will allow you to have a much more user-friendly configuration and deployment of that specific feature.
Are we talking centralized management?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so all 10,000 of my computers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything all in the same five place, of my computers
you
are
just
in
create
one
the
place.
Policies and you push it out to your computers. Yeah, okay. It's, again, it's fully automated, so it's pretty convenient to use. Mm-hmm. And the second main reason is the visibility. So you do have access to a lot of reporting that's actually coming from the actual firewall component. Let's say you can get a list of all the users on your network that had a port scanner on your environment on a given time frame. Yep. So that's the kind of awareness and the kind of visibility that some other vendors will not allow you to have.
Mm. Great. So looking at now, here we are, it's 2020, Q1 2020. Being that we're here at ESET headquarters, what kind of threats are we preparing for in this new year? Is there an evolution, like in 2017, we really saw an evolution from viruses to ransomware, and things are continuing to progress. Yep. Imagine fileless attacks. What else are we looking for?
So thank you for actually touching base on that one, and I will actually look at the camera and say, everybody, we have the malwares or the actual evil players in the industry. Every single day they are going better and better and better. So it's not only important to renew your license, it's imperative that you guys actually keep your ESET product or any other product that you might have today as updated as possible. So you have the evolution of the ransomware, you have the evolution of the file as a malware. If you are running your antivirus or your anti-malware product from 3 years ago, you might be losing some advanced features in there. Mm. So you might be actually lagging behind, and sometime they will eventually win over your computer and you might experience some loss or some incidents in general. So it's really important as a vendor to be as updated as possible. Whenever we release a new feature or a new version of the product, it's important that you actually try to be as updated as possible. Work with your vendor, work with your partner, work with your IT department, so you are well protected. We are seeing, coming back to your question, mm-hmm. we are seeing a lot of the movements in general, whenever we are looking at the data. So we are seeing a lot of the new threats coming from two main avenues, let's say. So the first one is hardware. So whenever I'm thinking of firmware, for example, you have a BIOS update, you have a new chipset on your computer. Yes, it's actually possible to infect or to infect that given component on your computer. Wow. Another point that we have, and we actually have a lot of research going on that specific one, is the user behavior. So let's say that usually when you think user behavior, probably the biggest example is credit card company. So you have your credit card in Canada, that credit card has been used in somewhere in Asia, and hey, even though online shopping is available everywhere, it might create a trigger. Hey, it's not that card is not supposed to be used in Asia, for example, in Europe or anywhere else. And we are started to see some efforts from different vendors actually to try to correlate all the incidents or all the incidents in general, the security incidents that we flag. We also try to map that to the actual user behavior. So, hey, that user has just had his email access in Canada being accessed in Europe. Maybe that's a user that's always traveling. So, yeah, it's kind of expected. Maybe not. That user is an internal user. He has no reason to have that kind of exposure in there. So we can actually create a ticket and we can flag that as a potential incident. So your admins can take a look at that.
Interesting. And we can do that So this is not as a third-party service, but as an internal
absolutely,
service that
yes,
our
absolutely.
IT department yep. and, is and, administering.
And again, the amount of data that's coming out of those services is so big that automation is critical for that.
That's
so
great.
We do have a lot of automation capabilities in our products.
Yeah.
And again, it's everything to make your life easier.
And I've never really thought of it outside the context of the credit card. Like, it's
yep.
a perfect example.
Yep.
If I've used it, and you see it sometimes where it's an inconvenience, but if your credit card ever was stolen and used maliciously,
yep.
then you want to know about it. And
yep.
here's a service that you're offering and evolving in 2020 that
yep.
is in-house. So
yeah, absolutely,
I have,
yep.
I have control over that data.
Yep. So you're
staff.
Thinking of your credit card. What if it's
yeah.
your email access or maybe your SIN number?
Mm-hmm.
Public data, basically.
Perfect.
It's private. It should be private. And we are trying to make it remain private.
So is that the evolution of malware, do you think, is targeting data?
Yeah, I would say so. I still don't see specific data to confirm that affirmation,
yep.
but I do believe that's something that's going to happen. We as citizens, we are actually producing more data every single day. The mm-hmm. amount of data that we have associated to our profiles is massive, either from financial data, healthcare data, social networking data, work data, basically. So we should see more custom attacks targeting specific users or specific organizations.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, well, Raf, it's been a pleasure having you here. We've learned
Thanks
a lot.
Thanks for having me, man.
I don't want to overwhelm the viewers. Grand scheme of things, I mean, 2020 is going to be an interesting year, I think, from the cybersecurity landscape.
Absolutely.
Are we still seeing attacks in the ransomware end of things? Are we still,
yes.
even though ESET customers are generally protected against that?
Yes, there's still a lot of ransomware going on. I don't see that going down, mm-hmm. not in the near future, at least. It's still evolving, and the actual organizations, they're actually organizations on the back end that are running with those ransomwares, they are still making a profit.
That's the thing, yeah.
So, yeah.
The question for years, when it was just viruses on the landscape,
yep.
the question was always, what's the motivation of a hacker
yep.
to do this?
Yep.
And you say, well, money.
Yep.
Because they make money. Ransomware is a perfect
yep.
example
yep.
where it's like, well, they're bringing in a ton of money in order to create malware.
Yep.
Which, you know, if that's a scary thing. So thank you for working to combat that.
Thanks, man.
Now, of course, you can find out more about the particular protections that we were discussing there by visiting the website endpointsecurity.ca. And incidentally, we've got some more video help and some great educational content there that is really geared toward businesses. Mm-hmm. So that information is there as a resource for you to be able to just watch videos that help you to understand the threat landscape. And with that, at endpointsecurity.ca, you're able to arm yourself with more information. And as I kind of mentioned and alluded to in the interview, it's not a sales pitch for a particular product or brand, but it is an educational piece that helps you to understand what you need to know, because things are really evolving. ESET has proven themselves to be, as we talked about with WannaCry, very, very proactive, mm-hmm. Being able to block a threat before it was even
known
an
to
actual
be a threat.
Thing. Yeah, it wasn't even a thing. They actually blocked the exploit that allowed the thing to exist.
Right.
So then when the thing existed, the exploit was already blocked by ESET. So that proactive nature of the protection to me is like, that's where it's at. That's what I want. They do have Linux services available as well. Incidentally, their centralized management console that we discussed mm-hmm. is based on a Linux environment. So
cool.
One that they provide is CentOS. I have a GitHub repository that allows you to install it on Debian Buster. That is github.com/cat5tv/ESET. You'll see the installers there if you're interested. So there's a whole lot of support there, and endpointsecurity.ca is a great place that it all comes together, with blogs, videos, podcasts, of course, the products themselves, recommendations for what would work in your environment. So if you're in business, that's where you want to go, endpointsecurity.ca.